At least 16 states have announced they will end pandemic unemployment benefits months ahead of schedule. That includes benefits that allow gig workers to collect unemployment compensation and that give recipients an extra $300 a week. The benefits are scheduled to end on September 6th. The plans in states would move the timeline up to mid-June or July. A Washington Post analysis finds the move could impact close to 2 million people in Republican-led states around the country. Here in Wisconsin, business groups like Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce are urging Governor Tony Evers to do the same. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you getting unemployment benefits right now? Have you collected the additional unemployment benefits during the COVID pandemic? If you are a gig worker, were you able to collect, or a self-employed person, were you able to collect benefits that you wouldn't have been able to in the past? If you're a business owner, what's it been like trying to find employees? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Jamila Michener is an associate professor in the Department of Government at Cornell University. Her research focuses on poverty, racial inequality, and public policy in the U.S. Jamila, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Can you talk, Jamila, about the impact these enhanced unemployment benefits have had on people through the course of unemployment related to the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, these enhanced unemployment benefits have been literally lifesavers. The pandemic has ushered in conditions that have made people really vulnerable to a lot of different forms of economic destitution. People are struggling to get food on the table. They're struggling to be able to pay their rent. They're struggling to be able to pay for basic necessities, diapers for their children, basic hygiene, so many things. And these benefits have helped people who were otherwise going to be facing these circumstances. What they haven't done is driven people in huge numbers out of the labor force. That is just not empirically verified.
Well, on that note, I want to give a listen to one of the governors saying their state will opt out of these enhanced benefits. Going to Arkansas, here's Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson talking to NPR earlier this week.
We don't need to pay people to stay at home when employers are begging for workers. That's the fundamental point. And what we see, employers have job openings at every level, and they have people who come in for an appointment but don't show up for the interview. They recite the fact that they can make more money because they have the assistance at home.
Jamila, that's been, I think, the most common argument for ending the enhanced benefits, the idea that, hey, employers are desperate for employees, they're competing with unemployment benefits. What do you say to that concern?
I say that the data just does not bear out the concern. Really, the concern is exaggerated and overstated relative to what we know. And what do we know? We know that a labor shortage in this country is not a major issue, that in fact, the economy per the last jobs report was down 8 million jobs, that labor force participation in April grew. So more people are going to work. People are not being lulled into some kind of hammock of complacency by unemployment benefits. And we also know that there are reasons, there are barriers preventing people for showing up for these job interviews. Did people not show up for the job interviews because they had unemployment benefits? That's not what the evidence is showing. The evidence is showing they didn't have sufficient child care. The evidence is showing they didn't have sufficient elder care. The evidence is showing that there are real barriers. And instead of addressing those barriers in people's lives, we're forcing them into destitution. And it really is the wrong solution to the wrong problem. And I would just say that among those who are suffering most to find employment, women and women of color are at the top of the list. That's who this is going to hurt most. Although I will say it will hurt all working people who have been trying their best to try to find employment, but have faced the barriers that I'm talking about.
Talking to Jamila Michener, associate professor in the Department of Government at Cornell University, looking at unemployment benefits in the United States during the pandemic. Some enhanced benefits still out there. A number of states, though, saying they are going to opt out of those as soon as they can in June or July instead of the deadline of early September. You could join in with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your own experiences collecting unemployment, applying for it, or as an employer. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jamila, you were just starting to get into this point. There's the idea that, you know, with the pandemic, we're all in it together, but certain categories of people, certain occupations were hit much harder economically, we know. Who are you seeing taking the hardest hit over the last year?
I mean, one of the things that's really striking and that we've talked about a lot is that women have really taken the hardest hit. And I mentioned that we saw gains in the labor force in April, and we did, but those gains were all among men. And so, you know, the folks, the people who are facing the most barriers to re-entering the labor force are really women who have care responsibilities, who have who are taking care of elderly parents and taking care of children. And overwhelmingly, we also have seen women of color who have really suffered, both with being able to have access to employment and with being able to have access to employment that's good, jobs that are good. I think that's a big question here. We want to sort of get people, sometimes the goal is to just get people in a position where they're desperate enough to take any job. And this is an opportunity to stop and ask ourselves, is that what we want? Do we want people abandoning their families and their health to take any job? Or is this an opportunity for us to build an economy that's more equitable and that's healthier for people?
You mentioned childcare and elder care, and we've seen in future proposals from the Biden administration, things that haven't passed Congress, or at least not yet, treating things like childcare and elder care as part of infrastructure spending, an argument whether it counts or not. That said, do you see federal policies that could help tackle some of those care issues that could then help, especially the women you're talking about, get back into the workforce?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the American Rescue Plan, we've seen that the Biden administration has built in this child tax credit. And so that certainly is going to a refundable tax child tax credit that is certainly going to provide relief to many millions of American families. And if estimates have it correct, is going to slash the child poverty rate really significantly. I think that is a direction that we should take really seriously in this country, and it's something to watch, right? I think that there's still a lot of work to be done around thinking about how to support workers like gig workers. They're a part of this that states are pulling back, and they're also pulling back from, for example, gig workers. I think that's a space where we've seen some support in some of the kind of COVID relief packages that have come from the federal government, and that's now starting to dwindle and dry up. And so it's worth looking in that direction, too, to these workers who are quite vulnerable to changes in the economy and who we rely on a lot, but we don't necessarily protect with resources and other forms of support.
I know, Jamila, from having talked to you about your book on Medicaid and federalism, you are very interested in how federal policies will play out differently in different states, depending on how they treat them. This is another example of that, I guess. Do you have concerns about, you know, if you live on this side of the border, you're getting one thing. If you live on the other side of a state line, you're getting something different?
I'm so glad that you asked about this because it's one of my biggest concerns here. It seems like every day a new state is opting in, Ohio, Georgia, Arizona. And literally, it's just if you live in one of these states that has decided, huh, I don't really like this, you suddenly are going to stop receiving these benefits that may literally be a lifeline for you, your children, your loved ones. And someone who lives in a different place has access to a completely different set of benefits. It's absolutely critical for us to think about whether that is the kind of country we want to live in, where access to vital benefits is arbitrarily dependent on where you happen to live. And one of the things I always think is interesting when I ask people that question in a general sense, they always say, oh, no, no. I mean, we're all people. We all have dignity. We should all be treated with some level of similarity, irrespective of where we live. But when you look at our policy, that commitment is not really reflected in it. And this is such a huge example of that.
We're talking to Jamila Michener, associate professor in the Department of Government at Cornell University. She's with us today to talk about what's behind the Republican push to end enhanced unemployment benefits earlier than planned. They're supposed to run out in early September, some states moving up the timeline to mid-June or July. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see happen in Wisconsin? Should we ride it out with these benefits till September or end them earlier? If you lost your job during the pandemic because of the pandemic, what sorts of things are you thinking about as you re-enter the workforce? Have you been able to get back into work? If you're an employer, do you see these enhanced unemployment benefits keeping people from applying for jobs to work for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Jamila Michener of Cornell University, looking at an effort in many Republican-led states to end pandemic unemployment programs earlier than scheduled. You could join in with your thoughts on that at 800-642-1234. If you have received those benefits yourself at some point since the pandemic started, love to hear from you and your experience as well. If you're an employer looking for workers, what are you seeing out there? 800-642-1234 is the number, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go to your calls now. Ray is with us in Milwaukee. Ray, hi.
Hi, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Biden and the Democrats are in control of all, you know, the federal government. They tried to insert the $15 an hour minimum wage into this last bill, and then they hid behind a person I have never heard of before, the Senate Parliamentariat, I think is what his title is. He decided that they could not put the $15 minimum wage in there. Now, when this happened with the Republicans, they promptly fired that person and put somebody in there that would do what they asked. Now, maybe $15 an hour is too high. Let's shoot for 12 an hour. But people, for once, are making decent money with these added benefits. I myself am one of those. But when I go back to my job, I make 20 plus an hour. So I have incentive to go back. But take a waitress who makes $2.25 an hour, and she has to really try to make up the rest of the minimum wage through her tips. The Democrats are spineless on this issue. They should fight for raising the minimum wage, but maybe 15 is too much. Let's start with 12, but let's do it, and this will solve a lot of these problems.
Ray, thanks for the call. Jamila, Ray saying, hey, yeah, the unemployment benefits may amount to more than people get paid at work. His solution, increase the amount people get paid at work. What do you think?
I think that Ray has a great point. And I think there's an even larger point here, which is, you know, we heard that clip of like, well, employers are complaining. And when employers are complaining, the response shouldn't be, oh, okay, employers say jump, we jump. The response should be, well, what's actually going on and what's happening on the part of the actual people who aren't going back to work? And look, you want people to come back and work, make it worth their while. There's a lot more we can do there. And the minimum wage is just the beginning. Paid family leave, et cetera. Is there more the Democrats can do? Absolutely. But let's not let the Republicans off the hook either. This should be in everyone's interest to make it possible for people to work and live humanely at the same time.
Thanks for the call, Ray. We'll go to Matthew next in Marshfield. Matthew, hi.
Hi.
Oh, what'd you want to bring up, Matthew?
Well, as far as the unemployment benefit thing, I mean, I can understand wanting to help people a little bit more. But when the unemployment benefit first started, people were bringing home $900 a week. I mean, is that really necessary? I mean, I understand now it'd be closer to $700 a week, but that's still, I don't know. It just, to me, it seems too high. And people that do work at McDonald's and stuff like that, like here in Marshfield, I know McDonald's starts off at like $12 an hour. I don't know about a lot of other places, but for the unemployment benefits, it seems like it's too high and people aren't really wanting to go back to work. Now, where I work, we've been working people, and I work in the skilled trade, and we've been taking people with no experience because we can't find people.
Matthew, thanks a lot for the call. Matthew, Jamila, Matthew, okay with some unemployment benefits. He says they've gotten a little on the high side, though, with these enhanced benefits.
I think that, you know, I mean, we all have different perspectives about what the high side is. I think that if folks are taking home $900 a week, the question is, what are the responsibilities that they have? How many children do they have? What kind of rent do they have to pay? What's the cost of living where they live? It's not really possible to just say, oh, $900 a week sounds high. It may sound high. It may be high, depending on what your life circumstance is. But for many, many people, that is, in fact, not high, right? Relative to the responsibilities that they have to take care of themselves. And look, employers that are saying, hey, we can barely find anyone. We have to hire people without skills. Again, the question is, you know, if people are forced through desperation because their benefits are cut off to take these jobs, and now it's easier for employers to find people, but folks are not meeting their needs, that's not really the trade-off either. These things are complex, though, and the exact right amount is going to be really hard for anyone to agree on, right? So we have to really think in terms of what are people's concrete needs, what are the costs of living, and there are there are mechanisms for calculating these things, and it may not make sense to people when they just eyeball it, ah, 900, it sounds a lot. But there's kind of really systematic thought that goes into studying and researching and calculating how much people need so that they can live in a way that is reflective of their family size and a number of other factors.
Thanks for the call, Matthew. We're talking to Jamila Michener from Cornell University, looking at unemployment benefits, some of the pandemic enhanced benefits. They're set to go to September around the country. Some states looking to opt out early. Back to your calls. Jim is with us in Milwaukee. Jim, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm an occupational health and safety trainer and especially a infectious disease response trainer. And I work with a nonprofit organization that provides training to workers and employers on workplace health and safety issues. And I've gotten none of the money throughout the whole pandemic. I didn't get the first pandemic money. I got none of the stimulus money. My employer has not been able to get any of the PPP money because we can't find a bank that's willing to write the paperwork because we're a small organization and they won't get anything out of it because we'll be able to keep people employed. If we're talking about cutting off the money and forcing people to go back to work, with the amount of variants that we have out there, we're going to be right back into an even worse pandemic by Christmas time this coming year when we think we should be just about over it. We're still in a pandemic. It hasn't ended. Just because we have vaccines doesn't mean that we should give the all clear sign.
Jim, thanks for the call. Among other things there, Jamila, Jim raising health concerns if people are going back to work before they feel, I guess, safe being back at work.
Yeah, I think that, you know, this is a really excellent point. It's easy because, you know, vaccination has really started to roll out and many people are vaccinated to start thinking, hey, this thing is over. The CDC yesterday, hey, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. And to get complacent and start thinking, hey, this is over. Let's force people back out into the world. But we still have many, many active coronavirus cases in the United States every day. And we're still grappling with a pandemic. We still have a significant subset of the population that is vaccine hesitant or simply vaccine refusing. And so when we take away these benefits, we also take away some degree of choice that people have about making health decisions that are best for them. I have friends who, you know, worked in places where they decided to stop working because their supervisors were exposing them to health vulnerabilities and threats. And they were all able to make those positive choices for their own health and the health of their families because they had access to unemployment. We take that away. We also take away people's ability to continue to protect themselves in a continuing pandemic. So I really do agree.
Time for one more caller. Marcus is with us in Madison. Marcus, hi.
Yes, good afternoon, Ms. Michener. Here in the state of Wisconsin, if your employer calls you back to work while you're collecting unemployment and you don't go, all that employer has to do is call the unemployment division and those payments will be cut off. The same is true if you are given offered comparable work at the same price. So there's a lot of false information being thrown around about this. Almost nearly half the workers in the state of Wisconsin make under $15 an hour. So if people, if employers want people to trot back to work, they'd be happy to if they weren't paid the sub-poverty and poverty wages that they are. Nobody talks about the necessity of work to the inherited wealthy of the young daughters and sons of the wealthy.
So, I got you, Marcus. We just have a couple minutes left. I want to bring Jamila Michener in on that first point in particular. Marcus saying, you know, if you refuse to go back to work, you can lose unemployment. I understand some of the requirements there were waived over the course of the pandemic. Jamila, what kind of enforcement is there right now around the country when it comes to you have to be looking for work and that sort of thing for unemployment?
Enforcement is really variable, and it's also quite tricky, both because of caveats that emerged during the pandemic, but also because the pandemic creates conditions that that make labor difficult and make agencies have a hard time keeping up with enforcement. That notwithstanding, it's absolutely true that there are mechanisms for that. And the second part of what Marcus said is really important too. We don't have to worry as much about enforcement if we have positions that actually pay people what they need to live, because then they will want to go back to work and it will be good for them and their families.
We'll leave it there. Jamila, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Jamila Michener is an associate professor in the Department of Government at Cornell University. She was with us today to talk about pandemic unemployment benefits and why some states are looking to end those enhanced benefits earlier than scheduled. Nationwide, they're scheduled to go to early September. Many states looking more toward mid-June or July.